Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on the second line off the top of the Yom Tashma. Here comes yet another Kasha. It's a Kasha of Rav Chisda who stated that Matanis Kehuna, for instance, the Zroya Lachayim Bekeva, the portions of the animal that are meant to be granted to the Kohen. So if they're around, you give them. But let's say they're not around anymore. Somebody ate them up, they're gone, they're destroyed. So the one who destroyed it, does he have to repay the Kohen? Does he have to... Is he responsible for these items? Rav Chisda says no, because there's nobody claiming it. It belongs to the Kohanim at large. But there is no specific claimant. There's no Taveya. It's Mamayin She'en Lo Tovim. It's money without a claimant. Unclaimable funds. So nobody can actually file a claim against this person. So he's Potter. And this applies to Matanes Kehuna of all types, including Truma and Maser, etc. He comes a Kasha on that concept. We have a brisa where it seems that one is responsible for destroying these items. Tashma, listen to this brisa. Areish sha'onsu beis hamelach. So the authorities came and they repossessed Garner, his granary, with all the grain, including the truma and maaser that was within that granary. So they took the entire tevel as is. And the question is, does the now that it's gone, does the farmer have to repay the kohanim for the lost truma, etc.? It depends on what grounds, on what basis they repossessed his possession. Was he owing back taxes? Was it the IRS who came to collect some back taxes? In which case, he's gaining from this transfer of goods because it's being applied to his account. So he's technically gaining from the truma and the maaser portion as well, which is going to be credited to his account. Okay, so in b'chayvay, if it was on account of a debt that he had with the government, chayv la'aser, so now he has to find other material and compensate, make up for the lost truma and maaser. Because it's like he sold the Kohen's Truma. He got credit for it. Chayv la'aser. He's responsible for it. But in Ba'am Paris, if it was just taken, Ba'am Paris means behefset, just at a loss, a straight loss, without any legal basis for repossessing it. They just took it. They swiped it. In which case, he's not really getting any credit for it. No gain. So he's not responsible. They stole it. It's unrelated to me. Potter mila aser, he doesn't have to compensate for that loss. But in the first case, he does. Why? It hadn't yet been given to a kohen. Technically, it doesn't really belong to anybody, so really, he should be potter. In accordance with Rav Chisda, who says it's mama in she'en lo tovim. And here we see that it is something that that has toiven, that has claimants. Otherwise, how could you obligate him to pay for this lost material? Shani Hasam says the Gemara, that's a totally different type of case. No, says Rashi, it's not like a kohen will come and demand it from him. It's just that he himself has a personal obligation, just like he has the initial obligation to provide the truma and the maaser to the kohen. So here that he gained because it was applied towards his account at the IRS. Shani Hasam, there is different to kamishtarashi. Mishtarashi means he gained kamishtarashi. He's gaining from the truma element, the maser element of his produce. Because instead of having to pay from out of his pocket, he had given the truma maser on his account, so he got credit for it. So he's basically using for his own benefit, using the Truma and the Maaser. He can't do that. He has to fulfill his obligation to give it to a kohen. So that's why he has to replace it. Toshma, here comes another raya. Akash on Rav Chisda, who says, well, it's mamoin, shein loy toivin, there's no claimant. Amar loy, so a fellow approaches the butcher with a request. Can I have the innards, you know, the stomach and etc. of the animal? Okay, like to buy a portion of the animal. Amalei mecherli, sell me please b'nei me'el shel para, the innards of the cow for $100. Okay, and in there we have the keva, the part that belongs to the kohen. V'hayu ben matonis kuhuna. So he took delivery of the entire package in which we have the keva. No, it's not the coin, so the purchaser has to give it to the coin. It belongs to him. Does he get credit for it? Does the butcher have to replace it? No, he doesn't have to deduct it from the price. Because the assumption is that the butcher sold him the rest. He didn't sell him this part. This part was just transferred to him temporarily to give to the coin. But if he sold it to him by weight, $10 a pound, including the keva, apparently it was included in the sale, he paid for it. Now, noisin the coin, the customer certainly has to forward it to the coin, it belongs to him, but he has a right to go back to the butcher and get credit for that missing portion, which he paid for. And the question is, am I? Why does he have to give it to the coin? It was sold to him. It's like stolen goods and stolen matanas kuhuna. I have no claimant. It's like a person destroyed or ate the matanas kuhuna. Why is he obligated to forward it to the coin? Well, big difference here. It's still around. It's right here. Shani Hosam, Disna Beinayu. They're around. So although it was transferred to the customer, doesn't mean he could keep it. And of course, he has to give it over to the kohen. Tashma, here comes another. Kasha on Rav Chisda. Tisha Nichse Kohen. There are 9 types of gifts to a kohen, which are considered like his possessions, which he can use as his own money. Truma, right? That's the Truma Gedoyla, the initial taking off the grain. Truma's Masa, which is the tenth that the Levi gives to the Kohen from his Maserishin, V'chala, from the Dobre, Shageiz, the first shearings. Umatonois, which is our topic today, Zroya L'chayayim and Keva, from the animal. V'hatmai, the part that you take off from produce purchased from an unlearned fellow, out of uncertainty that it was not yet attended to. V'avikurim, the first fruits. V'akeren V'chaymish, Rashi explains, this is the Keren Chaymish, the principal and the added fifth of money, which a person had stole from a convert who passed away, and he had falsely sworn that he was innocent. Now he admitted, so he has to pay the extra fine, the extra. He gives it to the kohen for lack of ears. The ger has no ears. Okay, so all these are considered nichsei kohen. It's his possession. It's his personal property. Pertaining to what? Let's assume, Lamai, regarding what does the Braisa call them Nichsei Kohen? Lav lo tzien b'gayonin. Assumingly, so that the Kohen has the ability to extract it in business, like his thing belongs to him. It's a Kashan Rav Chisda who says that it's unowned material. Loi, no. That's not what the Braisa meant. Rather, when the Braisa says Nichsei Kohen, look at this nun, regarding a different point, that he can use it to purchase anything. We have a Mishnah Bikurim, Lama Amru, regarding what was it said? That Bikurim are Nichsei Kohen, regarding what? Shekohen Behen Avadim. He can use it. He's not limited in terms of what he can use it for. He can use it to pay for slaves, Vakakaris, real estate, Behemetmeya, on kosher animals. Not only that, it's so much so his, that let's say he's owing money to somebody. That person can come repossess these items of the kohen. It's like his own property. Ubal choiv, a debtor, noitlon b'choive, can repossess these items on account of his debt. Vishab k'suvasa, a woman who the kohen owed the k'suva money to, can collect these items as well. V'sefer Torah. Now this term is a little bit up in the air what it means. V'sefer Torah. Some learn it means to say just like the Baal Chayiv can collect the Truma, you know, if the Kohen owes him money. Likewise, if the Kohen owns a Sefer Torah, don't think, you know, it's off limits. Baal Chayiv can collect that as well. Okay, in any case, we thought we had a kasha on Rav Chisda. It seemed like the Kohen has a personal, lays a personal claim on these items. No, that's not what it means. It means to say, once you give it to the Kohen, now it's his regarding all matters. Okay, so again, Rav Chisda had taught us an interesting point that Matanis Kuna is technically unclaimable money. We thought we had a bunch of kashas, which were answered. Here comes a new story. There was a fellow who was a Levi. Tabachotaf Matanta. He had an interesting practice. He would stand on the side of the road when he saw these boys being sent to the Kayin with a Matanis Kuna. So en route, he would snatch it from them. Before it got to the Kohen, they have a chatav matanta. You grab the matanta. Also, Amrli the Rav, so they came to complain to Rav. Look what he's doing. Amrli Husa Rav responded in astonishment. He says, "What business does he have grabbing matanis kuhuna? It belongs to the Kohen. Loim yastai. It's not enough for him to go shaklina minei that we don't force him to give his own matanis kuhuna. We let him keep his own, you know, zroya l'chayim v'keva of the animal that he himself shechts." He's not happy enough with that. Ella michtav na michat. He goes out and he grabs others' matanis kahuna. He has no right to do that. It belongs to the Kayan. Now, it would appear from Rav that there is room to obligate a Levi to transfer his matanis to a Kayan, but it turns out we don't do that. So what's going on? Rav, what is Rav's opinion? You know, the pasuk says that you collect the matanis kuhuna me'es ha'am, right? Pasuk says v'zeh yeh mishpat al kohanim me'es ha'am, from the nation. They take this royal chayim v'keva. Who's covered by the am title? Is it just plain Yisraelim like us, or is it even Levim? Yikru am, if the Levim are regarded as am. So they're obligated like anybody else. Mishkal namilishko binei. We should take the matanis from them. We shouldn't give them a discount. Ilo ikram, if they're not considered am, because they're technically part of Shevet Levi, like the Kehanim are. Rachman patrinus. So then the Torah exempted them. Rav seemed to say, look, they're really obligated. We're giving them a discount. Look, either they are or they're not. The answer is misapkali. He wasn't sure. There was an uncertainty in terms of how to classify the Levim. I ikru'am, I lo ikru'am. Are they called am or not? If they are, they're obligated. If not, they're not. So we can't obligate them because it's a suffix. We apply the rule, ha-moitzi mechaveru el varaya. If you want to extract, you have to prove your case, so we just leave it as is. Yosu rapapa v'kama lo shmait. So rapapa was sitting and saying over this halacha rav, and about his uncertainty regarding the status of the Levim with respect to matanis kuhuna obligations. Esvei Rav Ida Bar Avni had a question. He asked the Rav Pav. We have a braisa as follows. Arba matnois anim shebekerem. In a kerem, in a vineyard, there are four types of gifts to the poor. Haperet. You know, the random grapes that drop during the picking. The oidolois, those unclustered, you know, the isolated grapes growing on their own without a cluster form. Vashikcha, forgotten grapes on the tree. Vapeo, section of the tree that you leave over for the aniyim. Four different types in total. Vishalosh, shabatvo, by grain you have three types of gifts to the poor. Halechet, the stalks that drop during the picking, during the, you know, the harvesting. Vashikcha, the bundle that was left behind. Vapeo, in the corner of the field that was left for the aniyim. Ushnaim shabilon, on a regular fruit tree you have two types. So all these are left out in the field. Kulon, all these items, ein bahem teva sano labal. The owner doesn't have any benefit. He cannot choose his recipient, which would, you know, grant him goodwill, which perhaps would earn him a little bonus. Perhaps a grandfather might pay him off to, you know, give it to his grand. He doesn't have that ability. He doesn't give it. He just leaves it as is, and the aniyim come and collect on their own. Furthermore, Rafilu Onishib Yisrael, suppose a poor man happens to be a field owner. Could he pocket his own, you know, matanas aniyim? No, moitzin miyadai. We force him to let go, to give it to the other aniyim. We'll learn from a pasuk later that the Torah specifically requires a farmer, even if he's poor, to give up these gifts to the poor. So that's regarding farm-related gifts. But home-related gifts, after the produce was harvested and brought into the silo, brought home, now there's something called Ma'aser Ani. It's one of the Ma'aseris, the Truma, the Ma'aser Rishon. Ma'aser Ani is to the Aniyim. That's transferred from the owner directly to the poor. Ma'aser Ani Maschalak B'Tech Beis, the Ma'aser Ani, which is distributed in his house. So that's his to give. Yesh boi teves hanol abalim. In this case, the owner can choose his recipient and benefit from that ability. But the other halacha does apply here as well. So if he happens to be a poor man, but if he owns the field, it's his he has to go and give it to other poor. The Brisa continues, which is going to be the focal point of our discussion. Ushar matanis kuna. Regarding other, you know, gifts that are given to a kohen, kigayin, for instance, oh, hazroya, v'alachayayin v'akeva, the portions of an animal meant for the kohen, ein meitzin oisai, we don't force it, loy mikohen l'kohen, one kohen does not have to give to another kohen, so if a kohen shechts an animal, he's not obligated to transfer these to a different kohen, v'loy milevi l'levi. I think more later we'll explain exactly what this means, nor from levi to a levi. Okay, we're going to go back and elaborate and clarify the first part of the Raya. So before we proceed to the focal point of our discussion, which is the final statement of the Raya. Okay, so first let's go back. Arba matanis bekerem, and we're going to elaborate on the sources of those various gifts to the poor. Four in total in a vineyard. That's haperet va'leilois va'shikha va'peah. How do we know? Dechsiv. Rekarm chalisa oilo. Meant to leave behind the oilos, the isolated grapes growing without clusters. Uperet karmach leis alaket, nor he meant to recollect those fallen, grapes on the floor. Uksiv, we have the mitzvah of shikha as well. Kisiv tzar, by the way. Interesting that people tend to view forgetfulness as something negative, but it generates mitzvahs. If there wouldn't be shikha, then there wouldn't be a mitzvah of shikha, right? He has to forget the bundle, and then he leaves it for the poor. Uksiv, by the way, there's another mitzvah that shikha generates, which is Parsha Zachar. There's no shikha, there's no mitzvah of Zachar. Okay. Uksiv k'tziv tzor is kar mechal yisrael acharecha. And the word acharecha teaches us, Amar b'levi acharecha means a shikha. Don't go back to collect the forgotten, you know. What about peah? How do we know that applies to a kerem, to a vineyard? Gomar acharecha mizayis. Ugzer ashav. We have acharecha over here by the vineyard. Acharecha by the olives as well. When you collect your olives, pear is the beauty of the tree, the fruit of the tree. Don't collect every last olive. We learned in the Bismedish of Rabbi Shmuel. Right, don't collect if artemimenu the very last olives. Meaning, leave behind the corner that mitzvahs peah. Likewise, we apply it to grapes as well by way of the Gzera Shava. So that concludes the four by the vineyard. Shloisha Shabbatvor, the three matones anim that we have by grain, that's haleket, the dropped stalks, by shikha, the forgotten bundle, peya, the chsiv, the bekut, shechemes ksirar, shechemes sechala, pasadcha, bekut shrecha, vedakut ketzircha. So here we have the source for peya, right? Don't complete the entire thing, that's peah, and also leket, right? Kisikzer, getzircha besadecha v'shkachtem basade, right? You forget a bundle, that's mitzvah shikha. So we have all three, leket, shikha, and peah. And finally, shnayim shbilan, two mitzvahs pertaining to ordinary fruit trees, ha-shikha v'ha-peah, d'chsiv, kisach b'yitzach le'sfar ha-recha, what does that mean? V'tan v'shmol, that's referring to peah, leave something behind, shlo titol tifar to men, don't take the entire supply of grapes. And then we have acharecha, which is a reference to shikha. Don't go back to collect something you forgot. All these are meant to be just left and abandoned for any ani to take. It's not yours to give. It's not yours to choose a recipient. My time. How do we know? Maybe it's yours to give. Aziva, ksiva bahu. Because the pasuk refers to these items as something meant to be left behind. Tazoiv. Right? Doesn't say give it. It says leave it all. Leave it for them. Right? So sometimes it says Tazoiv, Rashi says, sometimes it says Yihiyah, just leave it. Leave it alone. For them to take as they wish. Vafil onish b'Yisrael. Suppose the farmer is a very poor man. We force him to transfer to other poor. So the drush is, read it like the Torah is telling the Ani. Mr. Ani, even though you're a poor man like anybody else, but since you're the owner, you have to go transfer to a different poor man. To warn, to instruct an Ani to give up the material of his own field for other poor people. But the Master Ani, which is given later, that's his to give. You can choose his recipient. My time, how do we know this is different? Because here it says give. Give it. It's yours to give. But again, if the farmer happens to be a poor man, he has to give it to a different poor man. How do we know this? Gomar lager lagemi hasam. We connect the Maser Ani to the other gifts mentioned earlier. It says lager in both places. Malahasam, malahalam. Muzer Ani Ashali, just like over there. The poor farmer must give it up. Afkan Muzer Ani Ashali, likewise over here. Okay, here comes the last part of the Braisa, which is the focal point of our discussion. Shamatan is kun regarding other gifts. Kigon Azraya. For instance, like Zroya, etc., we don't force a Kayan to give up his own and give it to a different Kayan. Let me Kayan the Kayan. But, and likewise, let me Levi. Nor do we force one Levi to give it to a different Levi. Now, the Braisa seems to imply, yeah, one Levi to the other doesn't have to. But a Levi must give his matanis kuna to a kohen. Am ikru am. Apparently, they're considered am like all the rest of us, and they're obligated in Israel lechayam mekeva. In contradiction to Rav, who was uncertain about it. No, kegoyin azroya v'lo Israel. The Braisa never meant Israel lechayam mekeva. That's why it says kegoyin. It would have just says, Zroya. Kegoyin like. The Tosis explains. It's exactly the point of the Braisa to highlight that we're not talking about the Zroya. The Zroya is not part of this equation. Levi is not obligated to transfer the Zroya to the Kayin because we're not sure whether he's... It's referring to something else which is similar, meaning another item which typically a Levi does pass on. What is that? That's Maser Rishon. Hold it, Maser Rishon to a Kayin? I thought Maser Rishon is to a Levi. That's the next kash. So again, kigoyin hazroya, but it's not really blazroya. Mind you, what are we talking about? Maserishin. Ask the Gemara, Maserishin, the Levi, who? Goes to the Levi. Why are we forcing him to give it to the Kohen? The answer is Kerv Elazar ben Azariah. Going like that, she did the Sanya. Truma, hands down. That's, of course, to the Kohen. But Maserishin. Rabbi Kiva says it goes to the Levi. The Rabbi Kiva. Elazar ben Azariah, Eimer, af le Kohen. Also a Kohen is entitled to Maserishin. Rashi brings that although the pasuk directed to the Levi, but the Kohen also is covered under the Levi umbrella. We find 24 times in Tanakh that the term Levi applies to a Kohen, so he's also entitled. And that's what the Braisa meant, that the Levi is meant to forward his maserishin to a Kohen, because that's the true recipient. Ask the Gemara, also a Kohen, not exclusively a Kohen. Certainly if the Levi has it, he can keep it. Why do you have to transfer it to the Kohen? Eimud Amar Blazer Azariah. It's true that he held Af LaKohen. Also a Kohen is entitled. But LaKohen, to insist on a Kohen, not the Levi, Mi Amar, did he then say that it's only the Kohens? Yeah, Labasat Kansinu Ezra. You have to know what happened way back, you know, when Ezra came up from Babel, by the second base at Migdash. He was taken aback. He looked around. There were no Levim around. They never came up. They stayed back. So he penalized them. Going forward, they lost their Maserishin privileges. From that day on, they meant to give the Maaser Rishon exclusively to the Kohanim. That explains our Brisa, why the Maaser Rishon goes to the Kohen. That's what the Brisa says, that Levi has to give up his Maaser Rishon from his own farm and give it to the Kohen. Ask the Gemara. I mean, yeah, the penalty was that if Yisrael has Maaser Rishon material, you have a choice, give it to the Levi or the Kohen, give it to the Kohen. But to the point that a Levi himself, who's really rightfully entitled to keep a Maaser Rishon, has to give up his own Maaser Rishon and give it to the Kohen? Unlikely. Emar dekansinu Ezra. It's true that Ezra made a knas to Leavinu. We don't give it to the Levi. But Mishkal Minami Omar, did it go to that extent that if a Levi happens to have his own produce from which he separates Maaser Rishon, even a Levi has to separate, by the way, but to deliver to a Kohen now, he can keep it. You're right. Ella, rather, the correct shot in the Brice is like this. We're not speaking about Maaser Rishon, that the Levi has to give to a Kohen, nor are we speaking about Zorei L'Chayim Akeva, because with that we're not sure whether he's Chayiv at all, like Rav. Ella, rather, what are the Brice refer to? Can Goyin Zorei, something which is similar to a Zorei, which is a gift, not exactly the Zorei, Umay Niu, what's something similar? Reish HaGeiz, the first sharings. That's all the Brice meant. Rashi explains, in the context of the Reish HaGeiz obligation, there's no mention of Am, which perhaps would preclude the Levi. It doesn't say Ams. Anybody is obligated, even a Levi has to give a portion of his sharings to the Kohen. Toshmei comes another Kashan Rav, who said that a Levi is in limbo regarding this obligation of Zeraya L'Chayam V'Keva. Toshmei, is that called? Here's a rule. Called Avashur B'Kedusha, any gift to a Kohen which has Kedusha, which would render it off-limits to a Yisrael. Like what? Kigoyin Truma, which only a Kohen is meant to eat. Truma's Masher, V'chala. Meitzin Oysen Miyada. So these items are forcibly removed from the hands, are forcibly extracted from the Levium. So the Brice refers to Levium. Are they obligated? Yes, we force them to give up these items and deliver them to the Kohanim. They have no business keeping these. But other types of gifts which are meant for Kohanim, but they don't have holiness, they don't have Kedusha. Kigoyin Hazroya, Vachayim Vakeva, from an ordinary animal. So monetarily they belong to a Kohen, but there's no holiness. Technically there's no Isser if one eats it, if a non-Kohen eats it. So here, we can't forcibly remove it from the Levi. Ein Mitzina Yisai Miyadam, we can't force a Levi to give it. Because he's not obligated. So you see that a Levi was his potter, and Rav is not sure. Why is he not sure? Brisa seems to say that he's potter. Says the Gemara once again, Kigoyin Zroya Vele Zroya. The Brisa didn't mean Zroya. It meant something similar. A gift which is similar. My new, what is that? Maaser Rishon. Bosel Kansenu Ezra. It's a Maaser Rishon post Ezra's Knas, where it's meant to be directed to a Kohen. But that's only for us to choose, for Yisrael to choose. Regarding our Maaser Rishon, we choose to give it to a Kohen, but the Levi himself, who happens to have his own Maaser Rishon from his own produce, he doesn't have to give it up to a Kohen. Toshmai comes another Kasha from a Braisa, where it seems that a Levi is obligated in Matanis Kuhuna. Hashechad l'Kohen, u'levit kechavim. So the Kohen had a behemoth, or Lahabdul Goy, and a Yid did a Shechita on behalf of the Kohen, on behalf of the Goy, Potter Matanis. Typically, a butcher is obligated to separate the Matanis, but in this case, since it belonged, the owner of the animal is a Kohen, is a Goy, who's exempt, so there's no obligation. Let's make an inference, a Diyuk, Hol Levi Yisrael Chayiv, but otherwise, if the owner is a Levi, or Yisrael, of course, he has to give. Apparently, Levi is Chayiv. Unlike Rav, who wasn't sure. No, Leitem Hol Levi Yisrael Chayiv, don't make a Diyuk that a Levi Yisrael is Chayiv. Aleim Ahol Yisrael Chayiv. We're just differentiating between a Kohen, a Goy, and a Yisrael who's Chayiv, but a Levi perhaps is Potter. Aval Levi my Potter, so you're exempting a Levi? Yach, if that's the case, listen, Yashach Levi, l'kicham Potter my Matonis. Wouldn't the Brisa cite a bigger Chiddush? If you're Shecht on behalf of a Goy, you'll have the Levi, you're Potter. A Kohen is a very obvious halacha. Why mention a Kohen? If you could have mentioned a bigger Chiddush, even a Levi is Potter, because he's not considered Am. The fact that it did not mention Levi would imply that he's chay. V'oid, furthermore, hatani bava brais, sashech l'kayin, ulev gichavim. So in these two cases, you're patim ramatonis. But it clearly says, l'levi, l'yisrael chayov. If the owner is a Levi, l'yisrael, you're chayv, tiyuv to the Rav. It's a refutation on Rav, who said it was a safek. Amalach Rav, Rav will say, you're right, tanoi. This question of how to title a Levi, is he considered Am, is he not, is really subject to Machlokes Tanoim. We took a shift to the Gemara in Yuma regarding a different matter. We will see that the underlying question is the same. The term Am, nation, applies to just Yisrael, or even Levim. This is Ani of Achipur, is Migdash HaKodesh, this is Ani of Kippur, Gadol, in his Avoida, affects purity, he's Machap on all the, contaminations, the mishaps that may have occurred throughout the year, throughout the Beis HaMikdash, and all types of context, all types of location, all types of people involved. The Sani V'chibar is Mikdash HaKodesh. He's Mechaper on that. What is Mikdash HaKodesh? Zilofnei Lofnim. Any mishap that may have occurred inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The term Oyel Moyed, what is that? Is a Hechel, that's the Hechel. Mizbeach, what's he atoning about on the Mizbeach? Mashmoy, any Avoid the Batumah that happened on the Mizbeach throughout the year. Yechaper, what location is that referring to? El Azores. He's purifying the Azores. And now with respect to people who may have done these, things. Kehanim kemashmoy is atoning for the Kehanim, right? Kehanim. As per its simple meaning, Kehanim or Kehanim. Amakol, who's that? Eli Yisrael, the rest of the nation. The word Yechaper, which is extra, who's that? Eli Leviim. Special word for Leviim. They're not included in Am. Hakol, apparently according to this Tana, Levim have their own title, their own designation. They're not included in Am. That's one way to look at it. Tani, if we have another Brian, which disagrees, they are covered by the Am title. The pasuk says, Yechaper elu avodim. If an Eved did something wrong in the Beis HaMikdash, so Yechaper is covering that because we don't need a special pasuk for Levim, who are already covered under the Am Yis. I'm a call umbrella because I call the Am. My Labakamifli, apparently, the Machlek is here, revolves around our question. Alavim part of the nation at large or not? The Mar Sava Ikru Am, Mar Sava Ikru Am. One considers them an Am, one considers them non Am. Which is exactly the question at hand regarding Matanis Kuna as well, which is an obligation only in the Am, Alavim included or not. Ask the Gemara, okay, so Varav, Rav wasn't sure. Isvir like Haitan Lema. If he adopts this opinion, let him adopt this opinion. If he adopted the opposing opinion, let him go with that opinion. Why was he not sure? Because he wasn't sure which opinion to adopt. Ika haitana, ika haitana. What's our conclusion? Torah Mereimar. Mereimar taught, Hilchasa, the conclusion is, Kavasei the Rav, go like Rav, that it's really a suffix. And we can't forcibly, collect the Zroel Chayayim Vakeva from the Levim. If they're considered the Am, they're obligated, otherwise not. So we're not sure. Hamaitz mechveil avarayim. And what else? V'lchasek avaseid Rav Chizda. We passed on Rav Chizda, who told us that if one damages the matanis kuhuna or eats them, they're out of sight, they're not here, there's no obligation to repay. Because there is no claimant. It's momen shein leitev. Now, it would seem from the previous Gemara, even Rav Chizda agrees that, according to Midas Chasidus, there is a point in going beyond the letter of the law, the basic obligation to actually be righteous and pious and pay up for it. But in terms of a monetary claim in a bezin, there's nobody out there that can claim that. Technically, it's ownerless. Okay, which was really the starting point of our daf, which triggered a bunch of questions, which were answered. That took us into the story of this fellow with snatch. The Matanis Kuhuna from the kids en route to the Kohen. Rav wasn't very happy. He says, look, should be happy enough that we leave him with his own Matanis because he's a Levi and we're not sure. What's he doing taking others' Matanis, which triggered a whole avalanche of kashas. Ultimately, it turns out that it's Machlekes Tanoim, in which case Rav adopted the Shevet Va'atas approach, sit back and, hands-off approach, since it's a Suffolk. And that's how we paskin. That a Levi is a Safik, in which case he ends up keeping his Matanis of Zroya L'Chayayim Vakeva. Thank you so much for joining. All the best to you and much, much Hatzlacha.